ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरये. We're continuing with our reading of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is from Canto 7, Chapter 13, The Behavior of a Perfect Person. Text number 25. Yadrichchaya lokam imam. Yadrichchaya lokam imam. Yadrichchaya lokam imam. Yadrichchaya lokam imam prapitaha karmabhir brahman prapita karmabhir brahman prapita karmabhir brahman swarga pavargayor Swarga pavargayor dwarang dwarang Swarga pavargayor dwarang Swarga pavargayor dwarang Tirascham punar asya cha Tiras cham punar asya cha. Tiras cham punar asya cha. Yadrichchaya lokam imam. Prapita karma bhir brahman. Swarga pavarga yor dwarang. Tirascham punar asya cha. Yadrichchaya lokam imam. Prapita karma bhir brahman. Swarga pavarga yor dwarang. Tirascham punar asya cha. Yadrishchaya lokam imam prapita karma bhir brahman swarga pavarga yor dwarang tirascham punar asya cha yadrishchaya lokam imam prapita karma bhir brahman Swarga pavarga yor dwaram. Vaishnavis. Yadrishchaya lokam imam. Prapita karma bhir brahman. Swarga pavarga yor dwaram. Tirascham punar asya cha. Yadrichchaya lokam imam prapita karma bhir brahman swarga pavarga yor dwaram tirascham punarasya cha yadrichchaya carried by the waves of material nature lokam human form imam this Prapitaha, achieved. Karmabhi, by the influence of different fruitive activities. Brahman, wandering from one form of life to another. swarga to the heavenly planets. Apavargayoho to liberation. Radam the gate. Tirashcham lower species of life. Punaha again. Asya of the human beings. Cha end. Translation. In the course of the evolutionary process, which is caused by fruitive activities due to undesirable material sense gratification, I have received this human form of life, which can lead to the heavenly planets, to liberation, to the lower species, or to rebirth among human beings. Would you like to repeat? But not very much, right? Okay. In the course of the evolutionary process, which is caused by fruitive activities due to undesirable material sense gratification, I have received this human form of life, which can lead one to heavenly planets, to liberation, to the lower species, or to rebirth among human beings. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. All living entities within this material world are undergoing the cycle of birth and death according to the laws of nature. This struggle of birth and death in different species may be called the evolutionary process, but in the Western world it has been wrongly explained. Darwin's theory of evolution from animal to man is incomplete, because the theory does not present the reverse condition, namely evolution from man to animal. In this verse, however, evolution has been very well explained on the strength of Vedic authority. Human life, which is obtained in the course of the evolutionary process, is a chance for elevation, swarga pavarga, or for degradation, tirascham punarasyacha. If one uses this human form of life properly, he can elevate himself to the higher planetary systems, where material happiness is many thousands of times better than on this planet. Or one may cultivate knowledge by which to become free from the evolutionary process and be reinstated in one's original spiritual life. This is called apavarga, or liberation. Called what? Material life is called pavarga, because here we are subject to five different states of suffering represented by the letters pa, pa, ba, ba, and ma. Pa means parishram, very hard labor. Pa means pena, or foam from the mouth. For example, sometimes we see a horse foaming at the mouth with heavy labor. Ba means bhyarhata, disappointment. In spite of so much labor, at the end we find disappointment. At the end we find what? Bha means bhaya, or fear. In material life, one is always in the blazing fire of fear, since no one knows what will happen next. Finally, ma means mrityu, or death. When one attempts to nullify these five different statuses of life, pa, pa, ba, bha, and ma, One achieves a pavarga, or liberation from the punishment of material existence. The word tirascham refers to degraded life. Human life, of course, provides an opportunity for the best living conditions. As Western people think, from the monkeys come the human beings who are more... As Western people think, from the monkeys come the human beings who are more comfortably situated. However, if one does not utilize human life for swarga or apavarga, he falls again to the degraded life of animals like dogs and hogs. Therefore, a sane human being must consider whether he will elevate himself to the higher planets, prepare to free himself from the evolutionary process, or travel again through the evolutionary process in higher and lower grades of life. If one works piously, One may be elevated to the higher planetary systems or achieve liberation and return home back to Godhead. But otherwise, one may be degraded to the life of a dog, a hog, and so on. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 9.25, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan. Those interested in being elevated to the higher planetary systems, Devalok or Swargalok, must prepare to do so. Similarly, if one wants liberation and wants to return home back to Godhead, he should prepare himself for that purpose. Our Krishna consciousness movement is therefore the highest movement for the benediction of human society, because this movement is teaching people how to go back home, back to Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita 13.22, it is clearly stated that different forms of life are obtained by association with the three modes of material nature. Karanam gunasangosya sarasad yoni janmasu. According to one's association with the material qualities of goodness, passion, and ignorance in this life, in one's next life, one receives an appropriate body. A what kind of body? Appropriate. Do we have a dictionary? You could look up appropriate. Modern civilization does not know that because of varied association in material nature, the living entity, although eternal, is placed in different diseased conditions known as the many species of life. Modern civilization is unaware of the laws of nature. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the performer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. That's from Bhagavad Gita 3.27. Every living entity is under the full control of the stringent laws of material nature, but rascals think themselves independent. Actually, however, they cannot be independent. This is foolishness. A foolish civilization is extremely risky. Is extremely what? And therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement is trying to make people aware of their fully dependent condition under the stringent laws of nature, and is trying to save them from being victimized by strong maya, which is Krishna's external energy. Behind the material laws is the supreme controller, Krishna. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Therefore, if one surrenders unto Krishna, mameva ye prapadyante mayametam tarantite, one may immediately be freed from the control of external nature. Sagunan samatityaitan pramabhuya yakalpate. This should be the aim of life. Om agnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam dina tasmai shi gurave namaha shi chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadahmayam tadati swapadantikam bandeham shri guru sri yuta padakamalam sri gurun vaishnavamscha sri rupam sagrajatam sahagana ragunatham vitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindh Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpaturubhascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Yidrishaya Lokam Imam prapita karma bhir brahman swarga pavarga yodharang tirascham bhunanasya. In the course of the evolutionary process, which is caused by fruitive activities due to undesirable material sense gratification, I have received this human form of life, which can lead to the heavenly planets, to liberation, the lower species, or to rebirth among human beings. It's interesting that this great soul is recounting and noticing where he is, because most people don't think about where they are. They just go on doing what they do without any conception of where they are in the cosmic scheme of things. And it's important to have this orientation, because if you don't know where you are or where you're going, then you can't plan. And generally people think that there is no plan except for the very immediate future, which is to take care of some temporary problem or situation having to do with bodily maintenance or some other causes which are limited to the bodily concept of life. So this Brahman is noticing that he's been wandering throughout the universe. Brahman means wandering. Brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudra nimaya. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that the soul is wandering from one situation to the next. Brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudra nimaya. And he's on a machine made of the material energy, Krishna says. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hride shar ajuna tishtiti. Brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudra nimaya. And I accompany that soul wherever he goes. And then Prabhupada makes this monumental point about evolution, that although there's a theory of evolution that species of life are evolving due to natural selection and therefore improving and achieving higher and higher life forms, that no one has mentioned or considered the fact that there may be de-evolution, so to speak. Prabhupada calls evolution to a lower species of life. In other words, you can go either way. And this is consistent with the Vedic understanding that the soul, the consciousness, is being affected by varieties of situations in the material world. Because of varied consciousness, that soul attains varied situations in life. And again, Prabhupada quotes, Purusha prakriti stohi bunte prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sangosya sarasad yoni janmasu. That the cause of this is one's association. Sangha means to link with something, to link up. Sa anga. The parts become connected, to link. I was thinking about how important links are, because I was looking at someone's website the other day and I came to the part about links. Said, here's some links. And I looked at the links and I said, I don't like those links very much. I don't like where they're taking me. So I didn't like the whole thing, actually, after that. And what we're linked with is very important, our sangha. So karanam guna sangosya, how we're linked is what causes where we go and who we are. As Gopi Puranadana Prabhu used to say, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And what you are, who you know and what you are, that's more important than what you know. Because eventually, whoever you know and whoever, I mean, to know means to associate with them, you'll become like that. In fact, once here in Venice Beach, Prajapati asked Prabhupada, how do we develop more attraction and taste for the holy name? And Prabhupada said, just observe the drunkards. And then you can go and sit with the drunkards. And if you sit with them, then they'll teach you how to drink liquor out of a bottle in a brown paper bag, and then how to keep it down long enough so that it gets in your system and so forth. It's an acquired process. And then pretty soon you know how to drink till you black out and fall down on the ground, wake up cold in an alley somewhere, and then get more money to start over again. That's a lifestyle. And Prabhupada said you can assume that lifestyle by association. you associate with drunkards, then you'll become a drunkard. So he said, similarly, if you associate with Paramahamsas and with those who have a taste for the holy name, then you also develop the same habits and the same kind of taste as they will because of your link, because of your sangha. And Prajapati said, Prabhupada, you want us to become drunkards on the holy name? And Prabhupada said, yes. Become drunkards on the holy name. And so Arjuna also asked in the beginning of the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita about karma. He said, what is karma? Kim karma, kim akarmeti. And Krishna answers that it is the living entity being forced to assume varied bodies because of varied states of consciousness. In other words, whatever state of consciousness one is in, one will then assume that external environment. And then Krishna goes on to explain more specifically about how if one remembers him, then he'll attain him at the end of life. And then he says, whatever you remember, yang yang vapi smanan bhavam tajat yante kalevaram tam tam ivaita kontiya sadatad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever you think of at the time of death, whatever your bhava, your feeling is, your predominant feeling, you'll attain that state without fail, Krishna says. And therefore he recommends you should always think of me. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mama nusmara yujyacha mayarpita mano bhudir mami vaishatya samshayaha. He tells Arjuna, you can do that, go on fighting, do the war as I'm asking you, and at the same time think of me. And you have to practice. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chitasa nanyagamina paramam purusham divyam yati partanu chintayan. That abhyas means you have to do it as something you do over and over again. You keep bringing your mind back through this form of discipline, back to the center, back to thinking of Krishna and so forth. And then you can attain that state. And of course, in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is called Attaining the Supreme, Krishna talks about how yogis endeavor to go to higher planets or to achieve liberation. And they're very careful about what time they leave their bodies and so forth. But he said devotees aren't so concerned about that. And then Krishna says, Ananya Cheta Satatam Yomam Smarati Nityasaha Tasyaham Sulabha Partha Nity. What is it? Ananya Cheta Satatam Yomam Smarati Nityasaha. So he says, if you always remember me, if you invest your consciousness in me, and Cheta means the consciousness, and Ananya means without any other distraction. Fully absorbed. Ananya cheta satatam yomam smanati nityasaha. And you just think of me. Tasya ham sulabha aparta. Then sulabha, I'm very easy to attain. If you just think of me. Nitya yukta yasya yogina. So, if one thinks of Krishna, one can attain Krishna. And if one allows the mind to go anywhere and everywhere, then one will attain that. So, it's possible to manipulate your way around the material nature. And Krishna talks about this in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, in describing how there are ritualists, elevationists, who study the Vedas, Tri Vidyamam Somapa Putapapa, Jagnar Swargar, Tri Vidyamam Somapa Putapapa, that they study the Vedas, the three Vedas, which describe how to do yajñas. Yajñar ishvatam swargatam prartayante, te punyam asadya surrender lokam ashnanti divyan divideva bogan. So he says, they study the Vedas, the ritualistic part of the Vedas, and these three there's parts of the Vedas that describe how to work your way up into the higher planetary systems. You can go to the planet of Indra, and there he says you can drink this soma ras. It's a kind of, I don't know what it is, some kind of enjoyment. But then he describes how it's like, I think of it as like frequent flyer miles. Because if you fly on a certain airline for long enough, they give you some status. and they say you get to walk on this little plastic red carpet in front of everybody else to get on the plane, and they give you a little bit bigger seat, and they give you a little bag of nuts. Everyone else can go to hell in the back. But if you don't fly and you use up all your frequent flyer miles, then you lose your status. And it's actually very difficult. Peter Berwash was telling me he's flown 347,000 miles in 1 year, and they still don't give him a lot of special attention. But in any case, once you use up your miles, then you're back in coach and persona non grata. And similarly, te tam bhuktva swargalokam vishante. Krishna says that after a person has gone to the heavenly planets and they enjoy, then they use up all their punya, and then they fall back down again to Martyaloka. They come back down to this planet again. So in this way, this phrase that this Brahman is using about how he's wandering in this world, it's there's a mechanism, there's a system. One can elevate oneself to higher planetary systems. If one simply remains ignorant and engages in vikarma, activities that should not be done, one degrades oneself and then can fall back into lower species of life. And Krishna is saying, and Prabhupada quotes at the end of this purport, yanti deva vrita devam pitrin yanti pratirvata bhutan yanti bhuteja yanti mam yajino pimam. Basically, he's saying, you can go wherever you like. It's up to you. It's good to know, right? It's up to you. You can go where you like. Yanti deva vrita devan. If you want to go to the higher planetary systems to live with the devas, you can go. Pitrin yanti pratirvata. There's the Pitri Loka, otherwise known as the planet of the trees. And there are different realms where one can go and reside according to one's endeavor, one's consciousness. But Krishna says, if you want to live with me, you can live with me. So then Prabhupada says that the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to understand this science and to help people discipline themselves and that therefore elevate themselves to higher consciousness. So there's an evolution of consciousness, and that's described by the Shastra, by the scripture, the evolution of human consciousness beyond just what keeps us in the material world. And there are signposts that describe that. For instance, there is a progression which is described by Rupa Goswami, Adau Shraddha Tata Sadhusanga Tabhajana Kriya Tato Narta Nivriti Set Tato Nishta Ruchis Tata. In this progression, he's describing how by one's increase of faith, one's faith in Krishna, in God, that one begins to pursue spiritual life, that one wants to associate with devotees, one takes up a regulated practice of spiritual life, then one fights the righteous fight to overcome obstacles, then one comes to a steady stage called nishta, where one can stand on one's own two feet in spiritual life without being harassed or being affected by external circumstances or internal circumstances of the mind, and then one comes to the stage of ruchi. And the great acharyas have documented these stages of consciousness meticulously. For instance, in the Nectar of Devotion, we'll find these stages are charted out so we can understand what is the progression. The faith means shraddha shabde vishwas kahe surida nishchoy krishne bhakti koile sarva karma krita hoy. An increasing feeling that if I just serve Krishna, then everything else is done. All other karmas, all other work that I have to do in this world will be accomplished perfectly. I think your friend's back. No? Will be accomplished perfectly if I simply chant Hare Krishna, if I simply do devotional service, then that's performed perfectly. And this is a sign of evolving consciousness. Yadrishi, adrishi, shraddha, siddhir, bhavati, tadrishi. Krishna tells Brahma in the Brahma Samhita that as you increase your faith, you come closer to perfection. And then in the Shastra, for instance, each one of these categories of faith, of thickening faith, is described in more detail, for instance, after ruchi comes asakti, or attachment, and then bhava. And in the bhava stage, Lord Chaitanya tells Sanatana Goswami the different symptoms of bhava. So you can measure yourself. Shantir avyarta kalatvam viraktir mana shunyata. Ashabanda samutkanta namagani sadaruchi. So he gives nine symptoms of bhava, or that is means an evolving, a person whose consciousness is evolving. And the first symptom is shantir, which means forgiveness. That whatever trespasses are imposed upon one, then one simply forgives that because one is flexible and concentrated inwardly and not so much concerned with what kind of reactions one's getting externally. Shantir. And the example given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Maharaj Parikshit, because Maharaj Parikshit was cursed by a little boy and he simply accepted it. He forgave. He forgave him. This is the sign of elevated consciousness. Interestingly, in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna talks about what is the path of knowledge, he describes amanidvam, adamvitvam, ahimsa shantir arjavam, etc. And it starts off with humility, pridelessness, nonviolence. There's a list of 20 items that are symptoms of evolved consciousness. So shantir, Maharaj Parikshit forgave. Avyarta kalatvam means that one doesn't want to waste even a moment. This is a symptom. One doesn't want to waste even one moment outside of engagement in Krishna consciousness. This is a sign of advanced consciousness, or one advancing in consciousness. And then virakti mana shunyata, which means that one's detached from all other things that aren't related to Krishna. You want to go here? Any relation to Krishna? No thanks. If it's not related, I'm not interested. The topic's not interesting. The place isn't interesting. The thing isn't interesting. It's not interesting to a person whose consciousness is becoming elevated. Viraktimana shunyata ashabanda. He's developing this kind of hope in achieving Krishna's mercy. And mana shunyata means becomes free from man, which means false ego. No more false ego. He doesn't. He's not concerned with how he's being treated by others in the outside world, particularly. And then there's attachment to the holy name. Jiva Goswami says that one can measure one's consciousness perfectly by understanding. One can understand one's advancement in spiritual consciousness by this one test, and that is, how eager am I to hear about Krishna? My eagerness to hear about Krishna directly correlates to my elevation in consciousness, in Krishna consciousness. Interested in hearing? The more interested I am, the more elevated the consciousness is, direct relation. And then he talks about attachment to hearing, attachment to the holy name. How attached am I to the holy name? And then attachment to living in holy places. If one wants to go to Disneyland or hang out in other kind of congested, really crazy places, Chuck E. Cheese, that's one of the last places I'd want to be. I've never been in, but I don't think, hopefully I'll never have to go in. Except maybe for Sankirtan. Sometimes we go in these places, like in Houston, we were going in bars to distribute books. That was interesting. You just go in the bar. Actually, we approached one bar, and I was walking up to the door, and there was a guy leaning against the door. And before I could say anything, I was in a dhoti. So before I could even walk in, he goes, here's a donation. And I asked one of the devotees, how did that happen? And he goes, he feels guilty. He saw you coming. And we went inside. We went around. There's people in the very back playing poker on these little games. It's dark can be, and they just have a little screen and a little drink, and they're, you know, playing these games back in there. And it's thinking, like, how else are they going to come in contact with Krishna consciousness? But these are the varied states of consciousness everywhere. But devotees aren't interested in going those places. In fact, devotees don't care where they go. According to the Srimad Bhagavatam, devotee is happy whether he's in heaven or hell. Just as long, what is it? Narayana Paraksarve Nakutashchana Bhibyati Swarga Pavarga Narakishu Apituliana Darshan. It's equal to him. Whether it's heaven, hell, it's a bar, it's a nice place, Hawaii, who cares? No one cares. The devotee doesn't care as long as there's seva. As long as he's doing his seva, he doesn't care if it's hot or cold, anything. Naprahrishet Priyam Prapya, whether it's pleasing or displeasing, he doesn't care. As long as he's engaged in service to Krishna. So these are symptoms of evolving consciousness. And then, of course, Krishna talks about the demoniac qualities in the Bhagavad Gita, described devolving consciousness. And there is a process to elevate the consciousness, especially the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Just by associating with the holy name, one becomes purified. This is anavritti shabdat, anavritti shabdat. According to the Vedanta Sutra, the process for purifying the consciousness, or as this sutra says, uncovering our real consciousness, is to shabdat, engage in vibrating transcendental sound. And of course, we have the verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karu Udoy. It's already there. Pure consciousness already exists. Our relationship with Krishna is already there. Sanitya Nitya Sambandha Prakritischa Paraivasa. It's eternal. But if you purify the consciousness by hearing and chanting, then gradually that natural state evolves. And by that evolution of consciousness, one is carried back home, back to Godhead, by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Tat Sat. So those are a few comments, and then let's have some reflections or questions. Yes? Gangai Prabhu. As far as the stages. For example, Ruchi, is it possible?
Oh boy, here we go. Thank you. As far as the stages, like for example, Ruchi, can someone fall down from that and start to go down and then have to sort of work their way up? Or do you, once you're, say, situated in Ruchi or whatever, that you don't, you just continue?
That's a nice point. That's a really good point. Can devotees fall down? Yes. Because we have freedom of our consciousness. We are free to go either way. And if we become distracted in the practice of devotional service at some stage, there's a way in which we can slip and fall down. Therefore, it's a regulative principle that one must not fall down. That's a regulative principle. And one has to be careful. Not only must one cultivate Krishna consciousness, but one must also be careful. So there are different aspects to being careful. One is not to become puffed up, because it's possible in prosecuting Krishna consciousness to start thinking that I'm liberated and therefore I can take liberties. And as soon as I think that, then I'll fall down. Because I consider myself liberated, therefore I can bend the regulative principles or cheat here and there or not stay regulated in devotional service or take risks, unnecessary risks. And because of that, taking those liberties, one can become victimized again. And great souls like Bharat Maharaj show the example how one in high state of consciousness can become distracted, as he was distracted by a deer. However, there is a rectification that takes place if one goes on with the process of devotional service, and that's mentioned in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam by Karabhajana Muni. Sapada mulam bhajata priyasya taktanya bhava sahare priyasya vikarma yach chot patitam katan chid tunoti sarvam hridisani vishtaha. And that is that one who's engaged in devotional service and whose entire purpose in life is to surrender to Hari. That's his bhava. Means swapada mulam bhajata priyasya. He's engaged in worshipping the lotus feet of Krishna. taktanya bhavasya, and his bhava is to give up everything for that service. Hare, for Hari. Priyasya, he's very dear to the Lord. That person's very dear to the Lord. And then vikarma yachchot patitam katanchit. If somehow or other that person falls down and does some vikarmic activity, vikarma yachchot patitam katanchit, tunoti sarvam ridishani vista, he can become rectified by going on with devotional service. We gave a seminar recently called The Anatomy of a Fall Down. And in that we talked about various causes for falling down from the process of devotional service. But then, of course, we talked about how to get back up again, which is important. And one devotee told me that, one very senior devotee told me that it's like riding a bucking bronco. You have to just stay in the saddle, no matter what happens. And the other thing is, you have to own the problem. If you have some difficulty or you fall down from the exalted position of devotional service, then you have to admit it, that it was my fault. If you blame somebody else and say that they made me do it, it was somebody else's fault, then you can't reform yourself. You have to be humble and say, it was my fault, and I'm going to take shelter of the holy name and go on chanting and go on practicing devotional service. Then such a person can become again regulated in devotional service and then come to the perfectional stage. And sometimes by such missteps and picking oneself up afterwards, one becomes even stronger in consciousness. Just quote one more verse. The apichet sudaracharo bhajate man mam ananyabhak sadureva samantavya samyag javasitohisa. Krishna says, even if someone who's engaged in devotional service commits the most abominable activity, if they continue, if they're engaged in devotional service, they're to be considered sadhus. They're saints. Because, he says, as they continue, Sri Prambhavati Dharmatma Shashvash Chantim Nagachati Konteya Pratijanihi Nami Bhakti Pranashati, they will very quickly come to the perfect stage. So no one in the process of devotional service, even if someone falls down from some situation, they're to continue practicing. And Krishna, from within the heart, Sannivishtaha, he rectifies the devotee. No extra prayaschitta is necessary. I'm sorry. Archita Prabhu? Hare Krishna.
Related to the question about possibility of fall down. Now, last night we were discussing in a Gita class that when we have physical problems, naturally we want to take care of them. But in Kali Yuga, most, if not all of us, also have mental problems, and we don't want to take care of them. And this is also one of the causes of fall down. If you have a medical problem, a physical problem, a broken bone, whatever, you take care of it naturally. But when we have mental problems, we don't want to address it. And it's necessary to address it. Just as one goes to a qualified physician to take care of physical problems, one should go to a qualified person to take care of the subtle physical problems. And we've experienced recently in our society that if you don't take care of it, this can fester over decades, and eventually you will do something to yourself or to someone else that's not appropriate. So this is one of the things that we don't discuss openly in our society, unfortunately. But
mental
problems are a fact of life, just like physical problems are. If you get a flu, a cold, a broken bone, whatever, you take care of it. So if you have mental problems, the first thing is to admit it. I have mental problems. I can't control my mind. It's affecting me negatively. I need help. And then you approach your appropriate parties and you get help. And help is there in a society at large. Of course, we'd rather approach a devotee mental professional because they understand the extended circumstances. It's not just I have a crazy mind, but I have to live within the context of the four principles and chanting Hare Krishna, etc. You can't tell me to just go have a beer like some, so-called mental health professionals say. You guys just need to relax, go have some fun, have a beer, whatever, and you'll feel better. No, we don't need that kind of advice. But if you have mental problems, you should get them addressed. They should be dealt with. They should be discussed openly. And this is something that the society at large, unfortunately, doesn't encourage, and our society doesn't encourage. And therefore, people go off and do crazy things because they have not addressed their mental problems, just like they would address their dental problems or their... You see the point? Maybe you'd like to say something.
I understand. Yeah, Rick Warren made the same point recently because his son unfortunately committed suicide. He's the leader of the Saddleback Church in Orange County, very successful organization. And, you know, suddenly his son, who was about 29 years old, committed suicide. So he was making this point that people, when there's a bodily injury, they talk about it and, you know, they can address it and there's no shame in that. But when there's some mental illness or some depression or something like that, people think that that is shameful or something. They don't want to talk about it sometimes. That's one point he made. But yes, whatever's necessary to keep the body and mind in a stable condition, one must take those remedial measures. Kama sanendriya pritir labo jivete yavata jivasyatapha jignasya narto yashche hikarma bihi. One has to preserve one's body and senses in order to perform devotional service. Banabhata Prabhu.
Extend that point and say that, you know, maybe we don't go off and do really crazy things.
A little closer.
But we actually all have mental problems. And if we didn't have mental problems, then we'd be experiencing the symptoms of pure love of God when we chant Krishna's name. So I think part of the way to deal with that also is by having the humility to admit that we also do have some problems ourselves, and that of I think the solution to all that is having loving relationships with devotees where we can, you know, get behind these mental problems and be able to encourage each other to come to a higher level of surrender and a more higher level of pure association.
Nice point, very important point. It's we're a combination of matter and spirit. So we have a body and mind, and we're also actually, we're spiritual souls, but we're enmeshed in this situation, so we have to take care of both. There's Vyaviharika and Paramartika, two parts to our existence. One means that we have to deal with ordinary things in this world, Vyavaharika, in such a way that we can remain balanced. And Paramartika means our ultimate goal of life, our spiritual goal. Both have to be maintained. I can't artificially just say that I'll only deal with the ultimate goal of life and leave everything else to chance. But one should live a balanced life. And it's important in any kind of community to have loving relationships and to encourage that and also to have a way in which we can help devotees. Yesterday we were talking in the meeting about how to get health care for all the devotees. And that's a practical consideration because it's very difficult to get health care in America. It's very expensive, and you have to wait in long lines if you don't have it, apparently. Or maybe if you're broke, it's okay. You can get something. But thinking ahead how to take care of devotees in such a way that they feel secure so they can go on with their service, and if there's an emergency, they can be taken care of, is an important consideration. And it makes for a balanced community of devotees. Yes, Suvas Prabhu. Suvas is saying that's one of the more positive effects of Google.
These days, you just get on Google and you Google in, you know, about different aspects of this, emotional problems, mental problems. And it's amazing all the things that you can find, because I've done it. I've gone on the internet and I've checked out different things about emotional or mental problems. And it's amazing how vast information you can receive there from real professional people that work with individuals that have mental problems. And when we say mental problems, we mean mental problems. You know, people that can't practically cope with material world or have no desire to motivated, can't be motivated to do certain things. And it's so specific there. It's incredible, the kind of information. So I would suggest all of us take a look at Google, see where we stand. According to the materialistic point of view. And these are professional people that deal with these kind of individuals on a daily basis. They do give pointers, I should say, of what a mentally ill person is like, what they act like, and especially after the incident we just had. I purposefully did that. And it was incredible how the explanations they gave actually fit exactly what we experienced. They're actually, you know, it's right there. You can, before, previously, you just kind of didn't know. And I remember when I was first a devotee, there was many people that came to Krishna consciousness that had mental problems, but we thought they were just eccentric or an avidut. Oh, wow, that guy's like an avidutta. But really, that person had mental problems. And I think we should really understand these points. I think what Archie is saying is very valid. We should understand what it means when a person has a mental problem so that we can genuinely help them and not just think they're like ecstatic beyond belief or that they're avidutta. But they have serious problems. And we should be able to address them and try to help this person in a particular way instead of ignoring it and pretending like it's not there. And I think that was one of the situations we experienced here in New Dwarka. We should have addressed it. And I think that that's really the sad part of this, and that we didn't address it because we didn't know it. But we should know it, and we should study it.
I'd just like to add something very important. This is very specific. If a devotee, or anyone for that matter, reveals themselves to you that they want to commit suicide, don't ignore it for crying out loud, especially if the person is very specific. I want to commit suicide by doing such and such. You cannot ignore that. You have to reveal it to authorities. You have to even maybe go to the material authorities. You have to reveal it. Don't keep it to yourself. People knew in advance what this person wanted to do. This person revealed that I have a gun and I want to go and do such and such. You cannot keep that kind of information to yourself. You cannot. Please, if somebody says they want to commit suicide and they give you very specific information about how they want to commit suicide, you have to reveal that. And then the person can be helped. Don't wait till after they do it and then say, oh, you know, well, a week ago he actually told me that he was going to do it. You know, you can't. That's crazy. That means you're crazy. I said that last night, by the way, Manabhata. The first person you look at to see if you're crazy is yourself. Look at yourself first and be honest with yourself what your mental symptoms are. This is the beginning. Because if you don't want help for yourself, then you can't genuinely help anybody else. So first of all, look at yourself. Monitor your mental state and see where you are. Based on, again, you can find the definitions. What's Asperger's? What's you know, somebody who's asocial, etc. You can find all the definitions online. Where are you? Then you can start to evaluate others. And if somebody reveals themselves to you, their mind to you about where they are, help them. If you can't help them, which maybe you can't, then to get professional help for them. That's another point. You don't go to a barber to do your taxes. You know, so you don't take a mentally unfit person to, you know, some guy on the corner to discuss it. Find a mental health professional. And there are a lot of devotee mental health professionals in our own community. My ex-wife is one of them. You know, there are people who are trained to deal.
Savas?
I'm going to check out my mental state today.
Dare we end on that note? Okay. Thank you very much, everyone, and keep up the great work here in New Dwarka. Hare Krishna. Vancha kapadurvasha kubasnimbe chapatitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna.
But there's a way in which you can practice.